Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday, October 28th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there, over 60 well-curated podcasts, all coming from a biblical worldview, very, very wide variety of topics. I will guarantee you, you're going to find something over there that you want to listen to, and there's a very real probability you're going to find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. So again, I would definitely encourage you to do so. It's really, really, really worth your while. So let's see. We're going to go ahead. So Saturday morning, sorry I didn't get this out last night. I honestly fell asleep and woke up where it was time to go to bed. Obviously, I'd already been asleep and just had slept through when I was going to record this. So I'm recording it early this morning. Well, early for me this morning. Well, actually, it's not even that early for me this morning, but I want to go ahead and get it recorded and get it out to you. And I did want to let you know, those that are trying to get this through Christian Podcast Community, there seems to be an issue with their feed over there. So I've been talking with their tech support person. And so he's been having to manually pull mine over. So I'll try to stay on top of that for you as much as I can, until he's able to find the issue and get it fixed. So, all right. So, with Saturday, it being a Saturday, we're just doing our Bible reading today, and we'll be getting back into our Bible study in the Gospel of John on Monday evening, God willing. So let's go ahead and let's open up with the seventh day. Sorry, let me move something here real quick. With the seventh day morning prayer, it's called God's Good Pleasure. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one. May we hearken to thee. The Almighty Instructor, teach us to live to Thee, the Light Dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding Thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of Thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what Thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. All right, well, our morning devotion for October 28th, and hey, it's almost Halloween, and no, we don't celebrate Halloween here, but it's almost Reformation Day. There you go. That's actually the more important of the two. All right, so our morning devotion for October 18th from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, from his Morning and Evening. The text for it is from John 15:19. I have chosen you out of the world. Here is distinguishing grace and discriminating regard, for some are made the special objects of divine affection. Do not be afraid to dwell upon this high doctrine of election. When your mind is most heavy and depressed, you will find it to be a bottle of richest cordial. Those who doubt the doctrines of grace or who cast them into the shade miss the richest clusters of Eshkol. They lose the wines on the lees well refined, the fat things full of marrow. There is no balm in Gilead comparable to it. If the honey to Jonathan's I'm sorry, if the honey in Jonathan's wood, when but touched, enlightened the eyes, this is honey which will enlighten your heart to love and learn the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Eat and fear not a surfeit. Live upon his choice dainty, and fear not that it will be too delicate a diet. Meat from the king's table will hurt none of his courtiers. Desire to have your mind enlarged, that you may comprehend more and more the eternal, everlasting, discriminating love of God. When you have mounted as high as election, tarry on its sister mount, the covenant of grace. Covenant engagements are the munitions of stupendous rock behind which we lie entrenched. Covenant engagements with the surety. Christ Jesus are the quiet resting places of trembling spirits. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, this still is all my strength and stay. If Jesus undertook to bring me to glory, and if the Father promised that he would give me to the Son to be a part of the infinite reward of the travail of his soul, then my soul, till God himself shall be unfaithful, till Jesus shall cease to be the truth, thou art safe. When David danced before the ark, he told Michael that election made him do so. Come, my soul, exult before the God of grace, and leap for joy of heart. So the crux of what Spurgeon is saying here is that the doctrines of grace provide such richness and comfort and confidence and safety. So as hard as they can be to take in, that should be, and they're not coming from anywhere else. They're from the scriptures. We should do our best to take them in and understand them and to, you know, for the eyes and the ears of our hearts to be opened so that we can truly take them in and pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to be enlightened to what God has said about them. All right. Well, let's get into our Bible reading. Excuse me. I'm going to have a little bit of coffee here. And I know it's not really coffee because it's decaf, but unfortunately, at my age, my blood pressure makes me have to go away from the stuff I love, which is good caffeinated coffee. All right. Well, our reading for today is going to be, let's see, Jeremiah 51, starting in verse 54 through the end of that chapter, and Jeremiah 52, Titus 3, Psalm 100, and Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19. So Jeremiah 51, verse 54. Hear the word of the Lord. The sound of an outcry. I'm sorry. Oh, I apologize. I don't know what's going on there. Okay, sorry. We'll start again. Jeremiah 51, verse 54. Hear the word of the Lord. The sound of an outcry from Babylon, and of great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. For Yahweh is going to destroy Babylon, and he will make her loud noise vanish from her. And their waves will roar like many waters. The rumbling of their voices sounds forth. For the destroyer is coming against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men will be captured. Their bows are shattered, for Yahweh is a God of recompense. He will fully repay. I will make her princes and her wise men drunk, her governors, her prefects, and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the king, whose name is Yahweh of hosts. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, the broad wall of Babylon will be completely razed, and her right gates will be set on fire. So the peoples will toil for nothing, and the nations become weary only for fire. The message which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, the son of Neriah, the grandson of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah the king of Judah to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. Now Seraiah was quartermaster. So Jeremiah wrote in a single scroll all the calamity which would come upon Babylon, that is, all these words which have been written concerning Babylon. Then Jeremiah said to Seraiah, as soon as you come to Babylon, then see that you read all these words aloud, and then you will say, you, O Yahweh, have promised concerning this place to cut it off, so that there will be nothing inhabiting it, whether man or beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation. And as soon as you finish reading this scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates. And then you will say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again because of the calamity that I am going to bring upon her. And they will become utterly weary. thus far are the words of Jeremiah. All right, Jeremiah 52, and I'm sorry, I'm going to take some more coffee here so this I don't start coughing in your ear. Okay, Zedekiah 52, or Jeremiah 52. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of Yahweh, this came about in Jerusalem and Judah until he cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now it happened in the ninth year of his reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his military force, against Jerusalem. And they camped against it and built a siege wall all around it. So the city came under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine was so strong in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city was breached, and all the men of war fled and went forth from the city at night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, though the Chaldeans were all around the city, and they went by way of the Arabah. But the military force of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And all his military force was scattered from him. Then they seized the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath. And he spoke his judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he also slaughtered all the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he blinded the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him with bronze fetters and brought him to Babylon and put him in prison until the day of his death. Now on the 10th day of the 5th month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard who stood before the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. And he burned the house of Yahweh, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, even every large house he burned with fire. So all the military force of the Chaldeans, who were with the captain of the guard, tore down all the walls around Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took away into exile some of the poorest of the people, the rest of the people who remained in the city, the defectors who had defected to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the artisans. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had some of the poorest of the land remain to be vine dressers and plowmen. Now the bronze pillars which belonged to the house of Yahweh, and the stands and the bronze sea which were in the house of Yahweh, the Chaldeans shattered and carried all their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the snuffers, the bowls, the pans, and all the bronze vessels which were used to minister. And the captain of the guard also took away the cups, the firepans, the bowls, the pots, the lampstands, the pans, and the offering bowls, what was fine gold and what was fine silver, the two pillars, the one sea, and the 12 bronze bulls that were under the sea, and the stands which King Solomon had made for the house of Yahweh. The bronze of all these vessels was beyond weight. As for the pillars, the height of each pillar was 18 cubits, and it was 12 cubits in the circumference, and 4 fingers in the thickness and hollow. Now a capital of bronze was on it, and the height of each capital was 5 cubits, with network and pomegranates upon the capital all around, all of bronze, and the second pillar was like these, including pomegranates. There were 96 exposed pomegranates. All the pomegranates numbered 100 on the network all around. Then the captain of the guard took Seraiah the chief priest and Zephaniah the second priest with the 3 doorkeepers of the temple. And from the city he took 1 official who was overseer of the men of war and 7 of the king's advisers who were found in the city. And the scribe of the commander of the army who mustered the people of the land and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and led them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Then the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah went into exile from its land. These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar took away into exile in the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, 832 persons from Jerusalem. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took away into exile 745 Jewish people. There were 4,600 people in all. Now it happened in the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke to him good words, and he set his throne above the throne of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed his prison clothes and had his meals in the king's presence continually all the days of his life. For his allowance, a continual allowance, was given him by the king of Babylon, a daily portion all the days of his life until the day of his death. Titus 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, demonstrating all gentleness to all men. For we ourselves also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the kindness and affection of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not by works which we did in righteousness, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we would become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be intent to lead in good works. These things are good and profitable for men. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and conflicts about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help and send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. And our people must also learn to lead in good works to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. All right, Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a loud shout to Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that Yahweh, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for Yahweh is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness generation unto generation. And finally, Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19. Like a madman who shoots firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "Am I not joking?" All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Let's read our evening devotion. Our evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, the text for it is from Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, 5:11. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. Comparisons all fail to set forth the Lord Jesus, but the spouse uses the best within her reach. By the head of Jesus we may understand his deity. For the head of Christ is God, and then the ingot of purest gold is the best conceivable metaphor, but all too poor to describe one so precious, so pure, so dear, so glorious. Jesus is not a grain of gold, but a vast globe of it, a priceless mass of treasure such as earth and heaven cannot excel. The creatures are mere iron and clay. They all shall perish like wood, hay, and stubble. But the ever-living head of the creation of God shall shine on forever and ever. In him is no mixture, nor smallest taint of alloy. He is forever infinitely holy and altogether divine. The bushy locks depict his manly vigor. There is nothing effeminate in our beloved. He is the manliest of men, bold as a lion, laborious as an ox, swift as an eagle. Every conceivable and inconceivable beauty is to be found in him, though once he was despised and rejected of men. His head the finest gold, with secret sweet perfume. His curled locks hang all as black as any raven's plume. The glory of his head is not shorn away. He is eternally crowned with peerless majesty. The black hair indicates youthful freshness, for Jesus has the dew of his youth upon him. Others grow languid with age, but he is forever, a priest, as was Melchizedek. Others come and go, but he abides as God upon his throne, world without end. We will behold him tonight and adore him. Angels are gazing upon him. His redeemed must not turn away their eyes from him. Where else is there such a beloved? Oh, for an hour's fellowship with him. Away, ye intruding cares. Jesus draws me, and I run after him. As we should. We should always be running after Jesus, despite everything going on in our world. All right, well, that is our program for the day. Thank you for spending this time with me. I continue to pray that this time together, reading the Word, helps you to stay saturated in the Scripture. And please know, please do not use this as a substitute for you doing your own reading and studying. Okay, you need to be doing your own reading and studying. I hope this helps you, but please be doing your own. We are all called and commanded to do so, so I would implore you to do so. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. If your plans do not include worshiping with the saints and you are physically able to do so, then do so. I would encourage you and implore you to do so. We are commanded to do so. We are commanded to worship with the saints. YouTube church is not church. It's not. Those are an oxymoron. Okay? So you need to be there. And if you don't know where one is, there are church finders out there. Founders Ministry has a great one. The Master Seminary has a great one where you can find Master Seminary graduates. Those would be solid churches. Please go find yourself a solid one. If it's a drive, take the drive. But please go worship with the saints. And if you're not able to, you are welcome to join us. We will be broadcasting at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow, on Sunday. And we would be happy to have you with us. Of course, we would prefer that you come and worship with us face to face. We would love that. Would be an answer to our prayers. But you're welcome to join us. You can find us at Vail Valley Baptist Church on Facebook, or we do live stream on Twitter at VBB Church. So you're welcome to join us. All right. Well, like I said, I hope you have yourself a good day, a great day, and a wonderful weekend. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Let's go ahead and pray. We're going to pray the Lord's Day Eve prayer. God of the passing hour, another week has gone, and I have been preserved, and my going out and my coming in. Thine has been the vigilance that has turned threatened evils aside. Thine the supplies that have nourished me, thine the comforts that have indulged me, thine the relations and friends that have delighted me, thine the means of grace which have edified me, thine the book which amidst all my enjoyments has told me that this is not my rest, that in all successes one thing alone is needful, to love my Savior. Nothing can equal the number of thy mercies, but my imperfections and sins. These, O God, I will neither conceal nor palliate, but confess with a broken heart. In what condition would secret review of my life leave me, were it not for the assurance that with thee there is plenteous redemption, that thou art a forgiving God, that thou mayest be feared? While I hope for pardon through the blood of the cross, I pray to be clothed with humility, to be quickened in thy way, to be more devoted to thee, to keep the end of my life in view, to be cured of the folly of delay and indecision, to know how frail I am, to number my days and apply my heart unto wisdom. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one. God bless.